Welcome to Career Tools. This week, staying in touch. The questions this cast answers are, how often should I stay in touch? Why should I stay in touch? And what should I say when I stay in touch?
We've recently made a change to our website, manager-tools.com, which allows for us to list for sale every remaining Virtual Effective Manager conference for the remainder of the year. Right now online, you can sign up for a Virtual Effective Manager conference event in October, November, or December. If you're wanting to join us but must delay, it's all right. Make your own choice today.
Sarah, in all of the podcasts, which seems like a million, we've made about networks and communication and relationships. And as many times as we've said, stay in touch, we've never had a cast about actually staying in touch. We even have one called Staying in Touch Examples with What to Say, but we still haven't got one called Staying in Touch. And so this is our remedy for that. This is back to basics of what staying in touch means and how often to do it and how to do it and why to do it and all of the basics.
Yes, exactly. All right. So today, our outline is going to be, we're going to start with stay in touch, what that looks like, make contact quarterly at a minimum, keeping a record of those touch points, alternate forms of contact, and using events as excuses.
Like reasons to be in touch.
Yeah. So staying in touch. Now, guys, the two most important elements of a successful career are getting results and relationships. We say that all of the time. And everybody knows the first. Everybody acts upon and operates their daily life in the workplace in terms of getting results. We know our goals. We know what our annual review is going to look like and what we're going to be marked positively on, what we're going to be marked negatively on. We know that our results also drive our salary increases, and therefore we work towards results.
Right. Like, I know what's important around here, my salary, and therefore results. But no one acts as if they know that you need the other part. You need the relationships. The more senior you are, the fewer actions you actually take that drive results, and the more you drive results through other people. And it's your relationships that drive those results. But Mark often says, when we talk about results and retention for managers, which are the two most important things for managers, you can get results and kill all your people. And that's not success. Success is getting the result and keeping the people, which means you have to work in a different way. You know, if the answer was just get results, then, you know, there's plenty of people from history you can copy, and they're not people that we want to copy.
Exactly.
And it's kind of the same with this. If you get results, but you don't work on your relationships, you come to a point where the results don't carry you any further and you don't have any friends. And having no friends in the organization or outside of the organization, you know, even if you get great results, means you get fired and then you've got nowhere to go.
Exactly. So you can also think of it this way, like just as an example, you guys, the VP at the call center of your bank, when you phone in, isn't the person taking the call. You don't phone and get the VP on the line. They are the individual, though, who is negotiating with the technology folks to make sure that the call center has the staffing and the right tools they need to do their job. They're also then liaising with human resources to make sure that their call center is staffed appropriately and with the right people. Now, that VP is setting direction that forms the goals of those individual call center operatives, but they're not actually the ones achieving the day-to-day results.
It's all through the relationships. And the better the VP's network and the better their relationships, the better the results for the organization as a whole. You know, if you've got a VP in a silo who's really intent on getting his results but not working with the rest of the organization, you can end up with those kind of lopsided results where you get a lot in one area, but it's counterproductive because you don't get the same in the other area. You know, and a VP's network, if you think of a VP, if that's somewhere you would like to get to, that person's network started the moment they started work.
Yes.
You know,
it did.
Just like yours, the first day they went to work, they knew nobody and they spent the next however long it's taken them to get to VP level building relationships both inside and outside of the organization. And it's kind of like compound interest. The more you start early, you don't have to do it as hard and it kind of builds on itself. If you are 20 years into your career and you realize I've got no network, no relationships, you're going to have to work really hard to build up the level that you need to be at that level of working. Whereas if you've just started your job, then one person this week, one person next week, one person the week after, by the end of 5 years, you've got 250 people. So the best time to start is 10 years ago. And the second best time is now.
Absolutely.
And since you can't have started 10 years ago,
right?
Because you didn't hear this cast, we didn't put it out, then start now.
The answer is today. And guys, before everyone who's listening thinks, oh no, I'm good. My LinkedIn network is huge. I've got so many people in my Facebook contacts. And I have all of these contacts. Guys, just so you know, your LinkedIn and your Facebook contacts are not your network or relationships. Like, think of it this way. Facebook contacts, LinkedIn contacts, it's like an address book. They contain a method or a way of communicating with the people that you know, but it's not the method or the way of communicating or tracking them down that matters. It's the actual connecting with and tracking them down or communicating. That's the important part. Just having a bunch of people and a bunch of ways to contact folks in an address book isn't a relationship. You need to use your contacts.
It's like for those of us who are old enough to remember having the phone book, a physical phone book that was 3 inches thick. There were all those people in there. They could have been your friends, but they weren't. It was just a book full of numbers. And my Facebook's kind of like that. I look at my Facebook sometimes and think, I don't know who half these people are. But they sent me a request and I say yes, and I have no idea who they are. And building a network is one thing, but staying in touch is another. If building a network is like building a house, then staying in touch is doing the maintenance that keeps it standing for year after year. Building a house is hard work. And most of us don't do it. We just buy a house that's already built. But building a network is hard too. And if it were easy, we'd all have excellent networks. And we don't.
And we don't. And the reason, guys, is that the moment you add someone to your network, the relationship with that person begins to decay, right? Like a new building. We buy, as Wendy said, brand new houses because they're brand new. And you've got a new building. You can't see decay immediately. But within a few months, after you've moved in, it looks good. And then you'll start to notice that there's scratches on the wall where the sofa hit it when you were moving in to the place, right? There's a little bit of caulking that's around your bathtub that's starting to peel and come away. You want to replace things like that, right? It doesn't take very long in that new setting before you start to notice that little problems are appearing, right? Things need some attention. And that's what this is like.
Yeah. And if you don't give them that attention, then you start to have bigger problems. You know, if you don't fix the fact that the shower pan settled and the caulking came away, you'll start to get water down the back. And then when you've got water down the back, you start to get wet floorboards, and that's not good for anyone. And in the same way,
if
you can have a network. Yeah. And if you don't keep up with those people, you get little cracks in your relationships. And then if you don't do anything about that, you get bigger cracks. And then when you want to speak to someone after 2, 3, 4 years,
yeah,
they don't reply to your emails and you wonder why. And it's the same thing. You have to be doing that daily, not daily, but weekly or regular maintenance in order to keep up those relationships, in order for your house of network to stay strong.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Because when the storm comes, whether it's in your house or it's with your network and you need to rely on them, you want to have done the maintenance in advance so that it stands up to the wind and the rain in that storm, right? You need to work your network.
it's very prescient because I went outside this morning and there is a storm coming.
Oh, there is a storm. Exactly.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm really glad I got my roof looked at after the tornado. Because otherwise I'm going to get wet.
Right? That's the thing. You need to work on your network.
So how often? Make contact quarterly at a minimum. So we're going to recommend quarterly as a minimum frequency. If you set your goal as quarterly and you miss one, you're still in contact 3 times a year. If you set your goal as once every 6 months and you miss one, you might as well send a Christmas card because that's just once a year, mm-hmm. right? And if quarterly seems like too much based on your relationship, then 3 times a year, but not twice, because if you miss one twice, it's only once a year.
Mm-hmm. Guys, the reason we suggest quarterly is because it means you don't ever get that far away from your contact. So, for example, this happens quite often, right? You've got a contact, but their job changes. Within 3 months, if you reach out to an individual who's changed positions and you, say, sent an email to their work email address, chances are that you'll still get an out-of-office reply, which will forward you to either a new message or their new email or give you contact information, right? If you phone their phone number and it happens to be an old number, you probably still have a voicemail, or organizations probably still have a voicemail set up so that you know that individual has left. If it's snail mail, right, you're using the post, you're sending a letter, chances are, if it's within that 3 week or 3 month window there, the mail will still be forwarded. The difference is when it's a year after somebody has changed a job and you look to reach out, it's much less likely that any of those things will be in play, which means that you will lose that connection, that contact altogether, because you'll have no way of finding them in their new place.
I wish I remembered the detail of this story, but I don't remember it. But I think it was Mike who tried to find Mark after a long time of not being in touch. And he phoned Mark's parents' house. And like a lot of parents, Mark's parents hadn't moved in like 30 yeah. years. Mm-hmm. And so their phone number still worked. And so he was able to contact them. And funnily, later on, you know, a few years later, they did move to the other side of the country. So they would have missed that window. But that's kind of different now. A lot of people don't have landlines. We don't keep our numbers forever. We don't keep our email addresses forever. You know, even Facebook and LinkedIn accounts, you know, we change them. Some people have more than one.
Yeah.
And so unless you're in touch on a fairly regular basis, you can easily lose touch of people. And even though people say, oh, well, that's okay, because technology, right? It's really easy to find people now. It's not as easy as you think it is as someone who is regularly asked to find people, especially women, because they change their names, makes it much harder.
Exactly.
So it would be better to stay in touch than think, oh, in 5 years, I'll be able to use technology to find that person.
Yes, exactly. Now, guys, in terms of the quarterly reach out, it doesn't have to be a long or substantial reach out. Like, we're not asking you to do a ton of effort on a quarterly basis. Now, we do have guidance on what to say when staying in touch. A potential example is just leaving a message. Hi, Julia. I realized today I've not spoken to you in a while. I hope you're well. Last time we spoke, actually, you were working on the X project, and I trust that was successful. Things are going well here. I'm working in a new route to market project, which is just, it's fun, it's super fun. The kids are well, and we're looking forward to a summer vacation. Regards, Sarah.
And that's like 64 words. I know, because I counted. And you know, you do not have to summarize everything that's happened since the last time you spoke to them. This is not your Christmas, you know, annual family Christmas right. message thing. You don't have to specifically ask after their spouse or their children. You don't have to have a really good reason for reaching out. We'll talk about that in a minute. You can even say, my system told me so.
I have a reminder set.
Mm. I get emails fairly regularly from people that say, this is my quarterly follow-up. This is my quarterly reach out to you. Or my system told me it's time to tell you what's going on in my life. I'm like, excellent.
Excellent.
I love hearing from people and knowing how they're doing. And all of those reasons you find for not reaching out, you know, like, It has to be something long. It's going to take a lot of effort. Or what do I say? Or do they want to hear from me? And all of those things, none of those are real. People do want to hear from you. And as long as you don't send them something that means they have to work. You know, if somebody sends me something and they're like, this is my quarterly reach out. And by the way, here's 15 questions I'd like you to answer. Then it feels like an imposition. But if all you do is reach out and say, hey, things are great with me. Let me know if you can. I can do anything to help you. Awesome. That's a great message to receive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anybody have a team overseas that you'd like to have trained with Manager Tools? Well, we're offering our trainings virtually now, which means we can host a virtual EMC for your Indian group, an ECC for your Aussies, or an EHM for China. If you've been trying to get your team on the same page about management, communication, or hiring, consider a virtual Manager Tools training. We've forgotten what time zones are at this point. Contact Maggie, maggie@manager-tools, for more details and scheduling.
Next on our list, then, is to keep a record. Now, our very first guidance, which included networking and our recommendations surrounding that, used the Control-Shift-K. Now, Control-Shift-K, you've probably heard us say in other podcasts, and we're going to say it here, is a Microsoft Outlook shortcut for creating a task. And once you've opened up that task, you'd then write or type in there, keep in touch with Wendy. And you'd make that task then, while you were there, recur every 3 months. And now, to be clear, that shortcut might be different in the program you use for your task list, but the guidance behind it is the same. Set up in your calendar a recurring task to remind yourself every 3 months to be in touch with each of your contacts. It's really easy to find a year that has gone by without getting in touch if we've not reminded ourselves, especially for folks like Wendy and I, in terms of DISC. If you're familiar with DISC, we are D's and C's.
Mm-hmm.
We're not people focused. We are task focused. So I find it helpful to turn my people reach out into a task.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. And I just think time goes faster. The older you get, the time goes faster. Like, everybody says that, right? How many people have said, do you know, we've been in this COVID thing for 6 months? I'm like, how did 6 months go past? It's just weird. So time perception for humans is just, we're just not good at it. And so use the technology to help you. And being reminded is only part of the value of having this on your task list. The second benefit is that you can keep a record of your conversation. And most task list systems will allow you to add notes to the task. So you can make a note about how you were in contact. So what method did you use to contact them? What you were in contact about? What if you sent some specific information? You can write that down. You can write down bullet points about what you said or what, you know, the message you left. You can make note of family changes if your contact shares them. So if somebody says, oh yeah, we're expecting a baby, then in 3 months, you can remember to say, how's that cooking a baby thing going? Or has the baby been born? You know, if they say they've married or they're looking forward to a big vacation or they're buying a house, all of those things you can write down. And like Sarah said, I'm a high D. I don't remember people. I don't remember to ask. If it's someone's, if someone's come back from vacation, I don't always remember to ask them. I don't remember people's birthdays very easily. So I use the technology to make me seem like a nicer person. You know, and why not? Don't trust yourself to remember, because once you have over 50 contacts that you're keeping in touch with quarterly, you will not remember their particular circumstances with any certainty. You know, you think, oh, I'm sure they had 2 children, or I'm sure they said something about buying a house, but you're not
certain. But you don't know, and that might be somebody else.
Yeah, and you don't want to say it in case you're wrong, so make a note.
Just make a note.
Hi, C's, if you want to make notes in your Linux-based text editor or in your Rome Research system or Obsidian, you go ahead. You can make this as complicated as you want to if you want to. Making a note where the task is an easy solution. But, you know, if something more complex makes you do it or makes it more fun for you, then you go for it. Like, we've just recommended the simplest thing. You want to do something really complicated, have at it.
Yeah, go for it. All right, next up then. alternate your forms of contact. Now, we all have that one form of contact that is just our personal preference, right? Some of us like text or email or prefer talk face-to-face or shout out, give a phone call, right? But as Manager Tools has taught us, and talking back to the DISC model that we were just discussing, communication is what the listener does. That is, you have a preferred form of contact. However, your contact, the person you're reaching out to, has a preferred form as well. So we'd recommend that you try and use more often a communication method that your listener prefers.
If you know what form they prefer, then use that, right? And if not, don't make this more complicated. Don't give it, make an excuse not to do something. Just don't use the form that you used last time. So it's, which is another reason to keep notes, right? So just rotate. If you sent an email last time, leave a voicemail this time. If you left a voicemail, send a handwritten note. If you met in person, send an email. Just don't resort to email every single time, because we get so much email. Another one has very little impact. Even for high C's and high D's who prefer email, we have so much that, you know, it gets left by the wayside, or it doesn't feel like a whole bunch of effort that somebody put into sending you an email. Whereas if somebody leaves you a voicemail, that feels like much more effort. You know, they actually picked up the phone. A voicemail has more impact because it's unusual, because it takes more effort, and people don't leave voicemail. And I have this theory that handwritten cards grow in the post. So you put them in the mail, and they're just, you know, like 4x6 or whatever. And by the time they arrive, because a handwritten note is so unusual, it's like the biggest thing in someone's life.
It is.
I was going through some old episodes of Things I Think yesterday. I was doing some editing, and I noticed there's 3 or 4 episodes or items that Mark has of people where Mark has sent a thank you card and they've sent a picture of it back saying, oh my gosh, I was so thrilled to receive that. And Mark knew what it looked like. He sent it. But people are so astounded by getting a handwritten note that they send you an email back and tell you what it looks like.
They thank you for the thank
because
you.
Because it becomes so big in the mail. It becomes such a big deal. And the handwriting doesn't matter. Most people's handwriting is legible. You know, go slow, decide what you're going to write, and go slow and print it if you have to. And that's absolutely fine. I did notice in one of the pictures, somebody had written underneath Mark's writing.
They translated it to real English.
The words that they couldn't read. They'd like clearly sat there for a while and thought, okay, I'm going to work out what this is. And when they'd worked it out, they didn't want to lose the thought. So they wrote it underneath, which just made me laugh.
Right.
You know, it'll be good enough. And because a handwritten note is such a big deal to receive, nobody sits there and goes, God, you have terrible handwriting. In fact, people often say to me, your handwriting looks really nice, but I can't read it, which is like the point of writing something is that somebody can read it, not that it looks nice. So my handwriting is pointless. But no, because it's such a big deal, people aren't going to worry about your handwriting. They're just going to be impressed that you sent them a note.
Right. No, exactly.
And feel really special.
People love notes. Absolutely, they do. All right. Now, guys, the last piece of our guidance is to use events as excuses. We say all the time, and we'll continue to say, that you don't need a formal reason to reach out. Like when we've given multiple examples, just reach out. Hey, hi, how are you? I was thinking of you today. Or it came up in my calendar or what have you. Some folks, and we know you're there, still feel as though you need a reason to reach out. So, fortunately, there are so many reasons this year for you to reach out. Now, for example, some things you could reach out surrounding, or you could make your reach out schedule time-based. So, Christmas, New Year's, back to school, Halloween, birthdays. And that's actually something that I've noticed LinkedIn has added. Birthdays, right? It gives you tons of reasons to reach out to people more often. And there are so many dates that you can use just to start your conversation, right? Hey, happy Halloween. Halloween reminds me of that time when, and just, we got dressed up at the office.
Yeah.
right? I think you were Superman, weren't you? Things like that. It gives you a reason to reach out.
Or Christmas, or, you know, back to school reminded me that your school age, your children must be going to school for the first time this year. How exciting for you. There's another reason for reaching out. Next one is announcements. So things like corporate announcements, new products, layoffs, profits, industry announcements like new legislation being passed, or announcements about people you both know. So for example, you could say, I saw that the House passed a bill to give your industry more R&D funding. Or I saw that your company announced layoffs. I don't think it's your area, but if there's anything I can do to help, feel free to reach out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Or one of my personal favorites then is location-based. So I actually happen to have my contacts, my bench, sorted by location at all times, so that if there's news, something newsworthy happening, I can reach out to the folks in that area, right? Or based on their occupation, their organization, right? The places that they work, where they're from, maybe potentially where they have family. So for example, something happens like an earthquake in Manila, for example. I'll go over my bench, find all of the people that I know in the Philippines. Hey, I saw there was an earthquake in Manila. I know you have family there. I hope all is well and everybody is safe. Things like that.
Yeah. Okay, next up, activity-based. So things like travel or sports, product launches, a new house, a new car. For example, we just moved into the Stillwater Ranch area and it reminded me of the house you had here. Or there's a house down the road that looks like that one that you had in wherever. Or there's some people next door who have the same blow-up Halloween decorations that you have. There you go, you can combine two of them. And it doesn't need to be something that both of you remember necessarily. You know, like it doesn't need to be that they've seen this house where you are at, but just that you both remember the one that they had and you went to a barbecue there one summer afternoon or something like that. Or even, you know, the houses here look like the ones in that area where we went to this client. And do you remember all the houses look the same? Well, this place looks exactly the same as that, you know? It can be fairly tenuous.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously there's anything that LinkedIn or Facebook tells you about the person, right? Now, again, we just mentioned birthdays, things like that, work changes, promotions, all those things are mentioned. Facebook and LinkedIn might be a two-edged sword, but one benefit is that they tell you about anniversaries, changes, promotions. It's constantly giving you a reason to reach out. In fact, I try and also with my closer network connections, pay attention to the things that they are posting.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally make sure that I'm not one for social media generally, but make sure I give it a like or a thumbs up on certain posts,
right,
that they send.
Like, so
that
minimum amount of effort then.
Right. But they remember that I exist. My brain or my name keeps being top of mind because I am a human being existing in their world with them.
Exactly. And I don't think a like replaces a quarterly contact.
I don't think so, no.
But in between, it's enough to keep that connection going with somebody. You know, if it's your best friend, please do more than like their posts. But, you know, someone you know who's in your network, who's an acquaintance, then, but you know, in between, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, but in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There really is no excuse for saying, I don't have a reason to reach out. We've just given you a bunch of excuses. And you don't need an excuse. You can just say, my system told me to, or it's September and this is what I'm doing, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have a network, and everyone does, even if it's only one person, you've done a lot of the hard work.
Yeah.
Staying in touch only takes a few minutes, and it means you have a warm network when you need it. Too often we hear, I wish I'd done a better job of keeping up with my network. I think we get one email a day that says that. Don't be that person. And you can start today. Like, go now to your contacts and convert them into a task and recur them all. Right? And just do two a day until you've got a rhythm going. You can start right now. Except if you're driving. Please wait.
Well, yes, exactly. Except if you're driving.
Please wait till you park. But otherwise, start now.
You absolutely can.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
that's all for this topic. We'll be back next week with something new.